This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deborah Wolf, and I am calling in to the radio from British Columbia, Canada, and it is dark and cloudy, not really hot here, but I'm a sun worshiper, but the weather forecast is for hot, sunny weather coming up for 2 weeks. And we deserve it because we've had a dark and rainy June, what they call Junuary around here. The rest of the country, though, to the east, is on fire. They're so hot. And heat waves and worries about that and telling people to get indoors and all that. So a lot of North America is struggling with the heat, and we're about to get it, too. So you need to know what to do with your dogs when it's hot. You need to know what you do with your dogs when it's cold, too. But if your dog's not used to the heat at all, don't walk him in the middle of the day when it's a hot day. Do it in the morning or the evening. If your dog's over 8 and it's a big dog, or over 10 and it's a little dog, don't walk it in the middle of the day. That's when most of the strokes happen. Most dogs who have strokes get them because they've overexerted during difficult weather, like hot peak times. So just do a morning walk or an evening walk. Don't be running around in the middle of the day. Another thing to remember is dogs are not beachgoers. No, they're not. Wolves and coyotes don't hang out in the hot noon sun on a beach. It's not what they do. They're more of dusk and dawn travelers. So if you are taking your dog to the beach, you need to bring stuff. Water, lots of it, in a bowl that won't spill. And shade, very important, and a good leash. And poop bags. Oh my goodness. I was at the beach because I love the beach. And I saw a lot of little dogs. Now, there's signs posted, no dogs allowed April 15th to September 15th. And all the big dog people seem to respect that. But the little dog people, the people who can just kind of carry their dogs down to the beach, the little woo-woo-woo dogs, the dogs that people go, ah, when they see them, those ones seem to come to the beach any old time. And you know what's curious about this is I've yet to see, I was at the beach maybe 6 hours a week ago, saw about 5 little dogs there, did not see a scooper bag anywhere, did not see anyone watching them. These dogs wander around and do what they want, and nobody picks up after them. When you got a big Rottweiler, German Shepherd that, you know, does his business on the beach, you pick it up, or people will tell you about it. But these little dogs, you got to police that too. Because nobody wants to be out on the beach playing frisbee and step in that. So come on, people, get it together. Otherwise, there's going to be more and more places off limits to dogs. And I think a lot of it is because the little dog people, they kind of break the rules. You got to watch your dog and you got to scoop after them. Yeah, that's a big problem for me because I go somewhere like the chiropractor. I'll give you a good example. 2 weeks ago when it was a really hot, sunny day. And I'm waiting for my appointment and I'm looking out the window. And what do I see? 2 dogs, windows down about 2 inches, 2 little Bichon type crosses, windows down a couple inches, but cars parked in the hot, hot sun and it's there for almost an hour. I know because I was there early for my appointment. I waited 20 minutes and I had my appointment. When I left, dogs were still there. I feel that. I think to myself, and I went back to the receptionist and said, hey, there's 2 dogs in the car. Do you know who those are? I think they're in trouble. They could get in trouble really quick. Oh, she'll be out soon, they said. I said, could you please let her know she shouldn't bring her dogs on hot days? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll tell her. And then I waited in my car to make sure they were okay. And I'm sitting there with a crisis of ethics. Do I leave them? What if something happens? I can't leave them. I've got a busy day. I'm supposed to be somewhere else. I can't break into her car. That would be unreasonable. It's not that hot out, but it's not that cool out either. You know what? Don't take your dog with you if it's hot. Yeah, he thinks he wants to come for the car ride. He loves the car, but he does not love the car when the temperature rises to extremes in minutes while you're taking a little longer because the people in front of you are too slow at the store or they don't have what you wanted or something else happens that delays you and now, uh-oh, your dogs are in distress. You went in, it was cloudy, now it's sunny, they're in trouble. So just don't do it. Just don't do it. Or you might have someone like me breaking into your car. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back and talk a little more about boxers who can't fly and Onyx, special dog I want to tell you about, and maybe some TLC show information. I have my own little TLC drama happening here at Camp Good Dog. All right, stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back with Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And first of all, I'm going to tell you about the boxer that can't fly. Got a boxer staying here at Camp Good Dog because the people thought they'd done everything right. They got their pet health passport, and they got their travel plans, and they booked all their accommodations to allow for dogs and their flights and blah, 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 blah. And then at the last minute, they find out that it's summer and dogs with squished faces are not allowed to fly on almost all airlines to almost all destinations. What? That's what they said. Well, yeah, because it's not like a racial discrimination against dogs who maybe to some people are unattractive. That's not what it is. What it is they have a real problem with breathing. This beauty thing that people bred for and bred to extreme to have the squished face and the short, short nose and muzzle that you see on boxers and pugs, for example, Frenchies, bulldogs, all these dogs that look like they kind of ran really fast into a wall head first. Those dogs have breathing problems. They may have their whole life with no issue, but usually they snore. Usually you can hear them coming. Usually they wheeze and they sort of, you could just, it's like having Darth Vader in your house. So they do have breathing issues, which are really exacerbated when they fly. So the airline's actually doing you a favor. The fact that this boxer stayed home means he'll be alive when they get back. And if you try to break the rules and send one of these dogs on a plane, declaring it as a different breed or whatever, you are very much risking your dog. They really can't fly during hot weather. So if you've got a dog like that, be mindful. Plan your trips accordingly. And make sure that they're not going from someplace like Phoenix to LA in the summer, right? No. Even if you can find someone to fly them, it's not a good idea. Even if it's on the plane with you. I mean, it has to do with other things. It's medical and physical. So just be really careful. And if you're a kind of person who flies all the time and you think you'll get a little dog so they can go with you on the plane, pick a dog with a pointy nose, please. You'll have an easier time. Okay, so I want to tell you, about Onyx. That's what I'm going to tell you about. He's a dog who came here and people thought that he was maybe aggressive or maybe afraid. And really the whole trick with Onyx is somewhere along the line, he got the idea confused that anyone pulling on his leash is meaning him harm. Okay, so if you pull on his leash, which is a natural thing to do when you see a dog, you want to put the leash on his collar and gently pull it and walk and go. This dog freaks out. He don't like it. He gets afraid. His eyes get all scared. He maybe looks like he might want to nip you. He looks like he might want to urinate. He looks very stressed. But you don't have to do that with him. You don't have to force him to do anything. The same dog, if you just look at him and talk in a happy voice, hello, hello, how are you? Come this way. Let's go. No problem. You can pick up the leash. You can hold it on your baby finger. You can walk around. The dog will greet you, love you, jump on you. Hey, so it's so strange, right? Why would this be? Well, somewhere along the line, something probably happened. It's not so much the confinement, because once he's decided you're okay and you're doing the happy talk, you can hold his leash. You can walk with him, and if the leash tightens, he doesn't care. It's that initial confrontation. When you first go over to him and you pick up the leash, if you pull, it reminds him of something, and it triggers a fear. So there's a lot of dogs out there with fears like that. And the more we walk them on leash, and the more it just so happens that the leash gets tight and then loose and tight and then loose, as we're baby talking, the more this dog will get over it. So it's something you can unlearn, a fear like that. But with most dogs, what happens is that people just steer clear of it. So the dog's afraid of something. Maybe he's standing right behind a car when another car comes screeching to a halt on the street, or a car backfires, or some loud, horrible noise happens, you know? So now he blames cars. So the people decide, okay, well, we won't walk so close to cars. We'll walk a few feet away. And then maybe he's still nervous. So then they decide, you know what? We'll just drive to the park. We won't walk on the street anymore. And then they keep making these kind of adjustments, let's say, until the dog is no longer comfortable at all on the street. Now he panics every time he hears a car. And if he's in the park and some car backfires, he might bolt. The whole thing, the fear gets bigger and bigger. It becomes a fear of all loud noises. Now he's probably afraid of other things that sound like cars, like a car door slamming, like a person yelling, like something falling, like a vacuum. I mean, it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger. Instead, if they just take him to the park like they always do, and then walk to the edge of the park where the cars are and at a distance, make sure he's calm and unstressed, maybe give him a cookie, just go as far as he can handle and walk around a bit and then go back to the park and do it again and do it again until he's so comfortable. I would probably do it a little quicker. I would probably just take him on a walk and be baby talking the whole way and singing and skipping and keep him guessing, go the wrong way, go other ways, go around cars, make him just focused on the fun of the activity. If he's a ball dog, have a ball in my pocket, you know, bounce it, let him grab it, switch balls, juggle a little bit. Just keep him focused on me and the happy walk. Nothing to do with that fear. So that's how you desensitize a dog. You start where he can handle it, and you just make the fear vanish because he learns, oh, that was just that car on that day. All these other cars have passed me and nothing happened. I was fine. I'm with her and she's fine. She looks calm. She's happy. I'm happy. We're good. And that's how you deal with the fear. Okay, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about TLC. Yeah, that channel. I can't believe it's called the Learning Channel because it certainly don't learn that much from it. But we'll be talking about the gossip because there are pets on TLC. And as I said, I have my own unexpected, that's right, unexpected, just like the show, when these ladies, young girls usually, are pregnant and they don't even know it and then they have babies. Well, we had something like that at Camp Good Dog. Stay tuned. I'll tell you all about it on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back at Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and I'm going to tell you about my own unexpected little scenario here. Two dogs check in to my kennel. One's a blue heeler, and the other's a kelpie. Those are both like border collies, medium-sized herding dogs from Australia. Very intense, very easy to work with for me. Need a lot of exercise, but super smart and just so well-behaved. Anyway. So these two come in, and they're all right. One's young, one's older, one's a boy, one's a girl. Well, don't think anything of it. They're doing very well. Well, they're here for a long stay, 6 weeks, and partway through the stay, she's starting to look a little chunky. Yeah, she is. Looks like a snake who swallowed a frog by the end of it. And I'm saying to the girls, I think she's pregnant. We all think she's pregnant. We're trying to call the owner. Is she pregnant? Anyway, she was pregnant. Oh, yes. 8 puppies. So imagine that. Imagine if you take your 2 dogs to a boarding kennel and you're on your vacation and you get the call. Hi, we're calling about your dogs. And you think, oh, no, are they okay? Well, yeah, they're okay. But when you come, I just want you to be prepared. You won't be collecting 2 dogs. You will be collecting 2 + 8. 10 dogs. You now own 10 dogs. Congratulations. Smoke a cigar. So that's what happened to these people. And lucky for them, I know what I'm doing. And lucky for Mama Freya, I know what I'm doing. And all 8 puppies are doing just so well. So well. But I really wasn't going to breed dogs this year. I thought my puppy days were over. I have 2 golden doodles from born last September, females, and they're so sweet. They're just beautiful dogs. They still got that puppy innocence, but they're trained and well-behaved and ready to go. And so because they didn't get homes last year, first time ever, I decided not to breed dogs anymore. And then this little thing at my kennel, it shows up pregnant. So, okay, I guess I have these puppies until they come collect them. It is definitely a labor of love for me. And the strangest thing, these puppies came out. They don't even look like dogs. They look like somebody took a Jersey cow and crossed it with a panda bear. They are black and white Art Deco puppies. That's all I could say. So if you want to look at them, I've posted lots of pictures of them at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook. And also Camp Good Dog Facebook. You can see the mom and the puppies. We took pictures of day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. They were born last Tuesday night, very late. I was at a beach party and I came home and something wasn't right. Well, something was more than right, 8 times right. So that's what we're dealing with today. And since we're talking about TLC, I guess I'll just say something. I was flicking through the show, through that channel, trying to find one of these shows about the pregnant girl so I could talk about it on the air and figure out what they do on that show. And while I was doing that, I came across this other TLC show where the man and woman are from different countries and he's contemplating moving to her country, which is in the Far East. They didn't say which country, unfortunately. But the two of them were having this conversation that I thought was outrageously inaccurate. They were talking about how they're not going to take Jojo, their dog, who looks like a miniature poodle, I would say, maybe a miniature poodle cross, little white fluffy thing. They're not going to take the dog because they're worried that if the dog were to test positive for rabies, it would be put down in Asia. Does it make no sense to me? First of all, if the dog tests positive for rabies anywhere, there's a big problem. And secondly, you can't fly without having rabies vaccines. And you can't travel to other countries without rabies vaccines. You're not supposed to have a dog at all without a rabies vaccine. They can get rabies from a squirrel, a raccoon, anything that jumps in your backyard. And don't think they won't. An animal with rabies does strange things. It's compelled to attack other animals. So any wildlife could give your dog rabies. So you really, really, really want to vaccinate for rabies. So I don't understand this. Your dog's vaccinated for rabies so you can travel. You have the proof on you. There's not going to be an incident where someone thinks it has rabies and puts it down. This ignorance is astounding to me. So I just wanted to correct that perception in case any of my viewers have been watching the show. Makes no sense at all. So Tata, take Jojo with you. That's what I say. Get Jojo vaccinated and take Jojo back to your own country. You don't have to leave Jojo behind. That's nonsense. All right, everybody. That's so strange to hear that. 2 days ago, I was in traffic and I was not the driver. I was the passenger. And I was noticing something I'd not noticed before, because normally when I'm driving around alone and a big pickup truck pulls up next to me and there's some dog in the car, I usually smile at the dog or give my hello dog signal, which is you take your head and, okay, so I'll explain it like this. When men greet each other, they often nod, right? They just do a quick sort of masculine, quick nod. They put their chin down and up again. If they know a guy, but they don't know him that well, and they just want to say hi or acknowledge you, they do that. Well, dogs have the same thing, only it's an upward motion. They do a quick nod up. So it's almost like exposing their throat, almost like a friendly gesture of, hey man, I trust you. And so it's a quick nod up. So that's what I usually do. When I'm in traffic, I see a pit bull or big mastiff or something leaning out of a car, and he's kind of giving me the eye, giving the nod up, and he usually gives me the nod back. Sometimes he kind of grins at me. Sometimes he just turns around. I never get the aggressive reaction. But I was in a car driving. I was in the passenger seat, and there was a man next to me driving, and we pull up next to a truck at a red light with one of these really big pit bulls half hanging out the window. And it was really interesting to watch the dynamic. First, the pit bull looked at me from across the way, decided I was not a threat, too far away, female, whatever, didn't register with him. But then he looked down at the driver, the man, and he wanted eye contact. You could see he wanted eye contact. He's saying, should I mess with you? Are you messing with me? And this pit bull was really, really big and half leaning out the truck. And I made a comment about it. And as soon as I did, the driver sort of looked at it, hadn't seen it yet, and changed his posture, which, of course, the pit bull saw. And I was thinking about the angle. When you drive around like that in a big truck with your dog half hanging out, he is in a really dominant position over all the other drivers. He could jump down at someone, get them, you know, I mean, if it was primitive situation and he were a wolf or a coyote or something ambushing prey, he could jump down and grab the throat and kill a person or a thing or an object or whatever. He could hunt something that way. So he's in a hunting position, an ambush position, an attack position, just by the way you're letting him ride in the truck. Now, this particular pit bull was all right. There was nothing to worry about. But if you have one that's a loose cannon, if you have any type of dog that's a little too aggressive, a little too barky, a little too territorial, doesn't have to be a pit bull, could be any breed, you don't want to let him hang out the window because you're just asking for trouble and you're letting him stalk people and intimidate people and try and make confrontations. I've seen it with them. I had a Rottweiler in my shuttle van one time, and we were driving through a really bad part of Vancouver trying to get out of town back to camp with a bunch of camper dogs. And I was parked at a red light behind some cars. And there was a person kind of freaking out on the side of the road, screaming and yelling. And I saw this dog just key up on him. He picked him out of the crowd, and his eyes were looking at this man. And he started to slam, the dog started to slam his face against the window, barking and barking and barking, saliva coming down the window. I'm in the minivan thinking, oh my God, I hope these windows hold. Now, the man, who probably had issues too, saw this and came right up to my van and started raising his fists at the dog. And thank God the light changed. But sometimes road rage is not what you want when you have a big dog like that. So be careful, people. Things can happen. They can definitely happen on the road. Unpredictable things can happen. And you want your dogs to be well-mannered, good citizens. In that case, he was right. The dog picked this guy out of a whole group of people, some waiting for the light to change, and sidewalk crossers, passersby, vendors, picked this one guy out as a problem, and he was right. But and I was glad he was there to protect me should something happen. But you really don't want, if your dog has bad attitude and he kind of growls at people who crowd him on the couch or doesn't let you pick up his bowl of food, all these things, just like the fear of loud noises, if your dog is a bully and you think it's funny or you give into it, he will become more of a bully. It'll get worse and worse until probably they'll be nipping. So you really want to get a hold of that. If your dog's trying to take over the couch, kick him off. If your dog's trying to take over the bed, kick him off. He shouldn't be on there. If your dog doesn't let you pick up the food, you got to work on that. Go see a trainer if you need to. But you want a dog who's not going to snap at a kid who happens to touch his bowl. Now, having said that, if you got kids over and your dogs aren't used to them, or even if they are, pick up all the food first. Make it easy so there's no toddler reaching into a bowl thinking they're doing the dog a favor, feeding him, and the dog misunderstands that as the kid taking his food. So be careful. Kids and dogs can make the best of friends, but they need to be watched, and dogs need to be taught, and kids need to be taught. So many times I've seen kids testing the patience of a dog they may not know on a hot day, and I just think, you know, not all dogs are going to tolerate that. So if you've got a kid that loves dogs, make sure your kid knows how to approach, how to ask, how to put their hand out as a closed fist, palm down, when they greet a dog, not to greet dogs that they that they don't know. All these things are so important. So important. I used to have this Rottweiler, and he was very well trained, hound dog Rottweiler. And I'd be at the dog park. And back then, there was this children's series called Carl about a friendly Rottweiler that used to adopt, you know, play with this kid. And the kid would climb out of the crib onto the dog's back, and they would go on adventures. And of course, the dog would return the kid to the crib before the mom came. And it was a picture book with no words. So loads of toddlers loved this book. And I'd be at this place called Trout Lake, which back then was an unofficial dog park. Now it's a dog park. And I'd be throwing for dogs, and toddlers would just come racing toward this Rottie Hound cross. Carl, Carl, which wasn't his name. And at first, it was a little bit disturbing for him. So I taught him. I just taught him they want to play fetch. Bring them the ball. He would see a kid running toward him, and he'd look around, grab a ball, and run toward the kid, sit down, drop the ball, wait. And that's what you want. You want some response that suits the dog and is clear to everybody. I don't mean any harm. I'm good. Right? If the dog doesn't like kids, then you teach him to come to you and heal when kids approach. And you work on it so he gets more tolerant. Because kids are in the world. We've got to get along with them. And dogs are in the world. And the two are the best of friends when it's done properly. Okay, everybody. I've kind of run out of time. So I'm going to leave you until next week. Until then, from me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party, and Pet Life Radio, be good to your animal.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.